The Lord be with you.
Welcome,
welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, our King who comes to save us. This is the second of our four midweek Advent services. This year we are examining the Psalms of Advent. The Psalms of Advent. Last week we looked at Psalm 24, the great Lift Up Your Heads Psalm. And tonight we look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50. And this is one that will take us to a courtroom and a courtroom scene. And, well, to see who's the judge and who's on trial, we'll just have to wait until the sermon. A couple of words on our worship service for the night. Our opening hymn is number 333. We heard it in our prelude, Once He Came in Blessing. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 4. Divine Service Setting 4, that's on page 203 and following. And please note, we've abridged our service, made it a little bit shorter. And while we're using the worship insert from this last Sunday, we won't use all of it. Instead of the spot where we normally would chant the introit, we'll be looking to the psalm, which is our sermon text for the evening. The first 15 verses of Psalm 50. The psalms are in the front of the hymnal in numerical order. We will speak Psalm 50 responsively, whole verse by whole verse, and then we'll all join together at the Glory Patri at the end. Also, you'll note that in our service, we're only using the Old Testament reading and the Gospel from this last Sunday. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You shower down upon us, especially the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our King who comes to save us. Heavenly Father, we know our sin, our guilt, and our shame are ever present. We have become masters at trying to pretend that our sin is not that big of a deal, and that the hurt that we have caused others and the guilt and shame that we hold deep inside of us is not real. Heavenly Father, tonight, help us to see that our sin is real and that our Savior from sin, Your Son, Jesus Christ, is real as well. Lord God, bless us tonight and throughout our Advent season. All these things we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Savior from sin. Amen. Amen. Hymn 333.
Thank you.
worship, divine service, setting number 4, page 203 in the front part of your hymnal. Page 203, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and in praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to Psalm 50 in the front part of your hymnal. We'll speak the first 15 verses responsively, whole verse by whole verse, and then we'll conclude with the Gloria Patri. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of time, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes, He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire, around Him a mighty tempest.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, and He
gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I forgive you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
I will not accept a bull from your house, or goats from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is full of wolves.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your
and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We sing the Kyrie. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by His coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday in Advent comes from the fourth chapter of the prophet Malachi. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse. According to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God, begotten not man. Being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 339. 339.
Advent is a time of great expectation. We eagerly await the coming of Christ, who will come again to judge the nations. And on that day, the court of heaven will be called to order. In our human courts, the bailiff calls, "All rise for the honorable judge." But our judge is no mere man. The Lord God, the mighty one, the righteous and impartial judge who alone can see the thoughts of men's hearts as an open book. This God comes to judge the earth. Psalm 50 paints a picture of this heavenly courtroom. And you're welcome to turn and follow along as we go through the psalm. God the judge is a terrifying figure as he enters the courtroom. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. The court of heaven is now in session. The Lord speaks. He is not silent. He calls and summons the heavens, and they give answer. They will serve as His witness. The heavens declare His righteousness. They testify that God's judgments are righteous and true. Then God calls to the earth, "Gather to me, my faithful ones," and we respond with joy. This is the day that we have been waiting for. The day when all wrongs will be righted. The day of retribution and judgment. It is the day that the prophet Malachi long foretold. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. Well, judgment is unfortunate, but we tell ourselves the wicked have earned it. They deserve it. But the Lord says, the day of judgment for the wicked is coming, but it is not this day. I've gathered you together in my courtroom for another purpose today. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I am your God, and I will testify against you. Now, all of a sudden, judgment no longer seems like the great idea. This is like the moment where you look around at your family that's gathered around you and realize they are not here to celebrate your birthday. They are here to stage an intervention. Or the moment where you're looking at the picture of Lincoln's most wanted criminal in the newspaper and you recognize your graduation photo. David, who had just passed a stern judgment on a selfish rich man, then heard Nathan the prophet say, "You are the man." God has called His court into session, but it is not the wicked on trial today. He has come to testify against you. The Lord says, "Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you." The problem is not a lack of sacrifice. In fact, God says, "Your burnt offerings are continually before me." The church is full of people who are doing many wonderful things for God. And yet on the last day, many of them will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not heal the sick, cast out demons, and do many wonderful works in your name?" And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You see, it's possible to go through all the motions, to do all the right Christian things, and yet have your heart be far from God. Yes, you attend church. Yes, you tithe. Yes, you read your Bible. Yes, you come to catechesis. But why? Why do you do these things? In Isaiah, God says, "You do all these things, my people, but you do them so that your voice may be lifted up on high." Often, we think that if we live a certain way, if we sacrifice and serve God, then God will be forced to listen to our prayers. God will owe it to us. We think that if we live a holy life, we can twist God's arm so that we can command a blessing from God. This is how the pagans thought about their gods. If their crops weren't growing, if it wasn't raining, they figured, "Our gods must be angry with us. Perhaps they're hungry. We need to sacrifice a goat or throw a virgin into the volcano, and then God won't be angry with us anymore. Then our crops will grow and our women will be fertile." And this way of thinking creeps right into the church. When you find yourself asking, Why did I get a bad grade? Why are things going wrong? Why did my car break down? Why am I sick? God must be angry with me. Perhaps it's because I skipped church last week. Maybe if I throw an extra 20 in the offering plate, then God will be happy with me again. Then I will find His blessing. And sometimes we think, if I lead a good life, if I keep the Ten Commandments, then God will owe it to me to bless me. Hey, God, have you noticed that I didn't steal anything this week? Now you owe me. But this is not the purpose of the Ten Commandments. They are not a game of Simon Says where God makes up arbitrary rules just to see who will obey them. God is not sitting around in heaven looking for minions to keep under His thumb, to keep obeying Him. No, the Lord, as Moses says, commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good, so that we might be preserved alive. God giving us the Ten Commandments is like a father telling his son, "Son, don't touch that hot stove." "Okay, Dad. It's going to be a real big sacrifice here, but I'll do it for you. I'll give up burnt fingers for you, Dad, but you owe me. I expect a double allowance this week." This is ridiculous. This is the kind of sacrifice that God detests. "Hey, God, look, I didn't rob any banks this week. I don't have to spend the next 20 years in prison. Do I get brownie points? Hey, God, I didn't destroy my wife's, I didn't destroy my marriage and my family by committing adultery. Now you owe me." But you see, this is ridiculous, but it's exactly how your old Adam thinks. And so God says in this psalm, "Don't do me any favors. If touching the stove is such a big burden for you, if you're missing out on so much fun, by all means, knock yourselves out. But I don't need your sacrifices. I won't accept a bull from your house or goats from your fold. If I were hungry, I would not tell you." God doesn't need your sacrifice. And why? Well, because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The world and all its fullness belong to Him. But more importantly, God does not need your sacrifice because He has already provided His own sacrifice for your sin. The spotless Lamb of God has already been slain. With His perfect life and obedient death on the cross, Jesus accomplished what you were unable to do. The blood of 1,000 goats could never have satisfied your debt. A lifetime of sacrifice and good works could never atone for your sin. But the blood of Jesus, poured out one time, covers not only your sin, but the sins of the whole world. Isaiah tells us, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace." All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So what then does God want from you? What kind of sacrifice is pleasing to Him? The psalmist writes, "Offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving." The gift that God wants from you is for you to receive His gift. Admit that you have nothing of yourself to offer God. And instead, look to the cross of Christ, the source of every blessing. God doesn't want a master-slave relationship with you. He doesn't want an army of employees who punch in the morning, watch the clock, and then put their hand out at the end of the week. No, God wants to relate to you as a father to His dear children. He wants to relate to you as the giver of the gift, the giver of salvation. And God's serious about this. He's so serious, in fact, that He convenes His court to condemn every last one of your self-righteous efforts. He despises your vain sacrifices. He denounces your fruitless attempts to earn His favor. And He judges you, a sinner, worthy of death, and then He carries out the sentence on His own Son. So we sing in our offertory, "What shall I render to the Lord? What shall I give back to God for all His gifts to me? I will take up the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord." This is the only sacrifice that you can offer to God, to trust in His promise of eternal life, to believe that your sins are forgiven, to call upon His name in every trouble, and to await His final coming with hope and joy. So in the name of Christ, who came to earth to be our sacrifice, who comes to us again tonight in His Word, in His body and blood, and who will come again in glory on that final day. In this name, amen. Please stand for prayer.
Heavenly Father, may we always be ready with expectant joy to receive our coming King. Help us to see how He continues to come to us each and every day through Word and Sacrament. And teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we do not cling too closely to the things of this world, but await with joy His second coming. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our congregation, O Lord, that we would be faithful stewards of Your Word. Help us, bless us, and encourage us as we teach people of all ages the truth of a sinful people and a gracious and loving God. We ask a special measure of Your grace upon our catechumens. Be with them, bless them, grow them, as they prepare to make the good confession before You and the entire world. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician of body and soul, You chasten and You heal. We beg You to show mercy to all of Your servants who are sick or suffering this day. Heavenly Father, we ask for a special measure of Your healing touch upon Tom. Heavenly Father, bless all those in any affliction with grace to endure, and if it be Your will, with healing. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, We come once again at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who comes to us riding on bread and wine. Heavenly Father, bless us with truly repentant hearts and eyes that see not only bread and wine, but the very body and blood of your Son, crucified and risen for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, during this season of giving, we give thanks to you as the giver of all good gifts. We thank you for the gifts you shower down upon us. We thank you for this season of selflessness as we give to one another. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of life granted to Pastor and Bethany Morundi and the gift of a daughter, Rachel Lauren. We thank you for her gift of rebirth in the waters of holy baptism this last Sunday. And now we ask you to bless her, that she would grow in faith and in love toward you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who gives us everything, including our salvation, would be yours today and always. This time we worship God with our Advent gifts and offerings. Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 208 and following. Please stand as you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We sing.
Christ has given for you. The body of 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 Christ has given for you.
The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We continue now with the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. We stand.
Oh, my dear, God, share.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for our closing hymn, 338. 338. In the name of the King who comes to save us, our righteous judge, Jesus Christ. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. Thanks to everybody who made the first KNNA benefit dance such a big hit last Sunday evening. Although I have to tell you, I felt a little bit like it was a flashback to the movie Footloose. If you remember the end of the movie Footloose, where the town that doesn't dance, and everybody sat around and looked at each other on like how to do it, that was kind of the way it was. But next time we're going to have somebody like Jack or somebody like him offer up dance lessons for anybody who wants. It was a great time and raised a lot of dollars for the radio station as well. A lot of activities that are coming up. We have Christmas program practice on Sunday morning or Saturday morning, 10 o'clock till 11:30. 10 till 11:30. At 11:30 on Saturday, we're going to eat and get ready and divvy up for Christmas caroling. You're all invited. 7th and 8th graders, those that are in my class with confirmation 2, there's a little added incentive to go Christmas caroling. Moms and dads, you might want to ask about that, especially if your son or daughter is a little bit behind in memory work or sermon outlines. So that's the best I can do, and that is, I don't know if that's grace or if that's manipulation. Maybe a little bit of both. Okay. We continue our countdown to the joyous celebration of Christmas. We have two more Wednesday evenings left, thanks to the Boy Scouts for cooking the meal tonight. Next Wednesday, we'll have a fellowship meal again, serving from 5 until 6:15. We're looking at the Psalms of Advent, and next week we look at Psalm 85. Psalm 85. Choir up in the balcony. Thanks for the special music, by the way. Awesome. Choir up in the balcony now. Bible study in the fellowship hall. We are studying the Holy Spirit as we specifically examine Luke chapter 1 and 2, the Christmas story. And so that's in the fellowship hall. I don't know. Did I get everything there? Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock, continuing our look at Mark. We started a new Sunday morning Bible study this last Sunday on the formula of Concord, and looks to be a good study this week. We'll look at original sin. New member welcome, Sunday, 8 o'clock. Be a great opportunity to not only receive, but to welcome our new brothers and sisters in Christ here at Good Shepherd. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and Advent and life and eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ.